Our Heavenly Father, we come into your word with fear and trembling. We recognize it is your word, and only you can say what you desire to say. And so, Father, I yield entirely my faculties unto you. I ask you for fresh mercy, fresh unction from your throne, under the covering of my fathers, under the lordship of Jesus, to enable me to speak and preach this word as an oracle of God, that your word will flow out of me like a stream of living water, in wisdom, Lord, in power, in clarity, in the simplicity and the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, doing an internal, eternal work in all our hearts and lives, including my own, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation from the light of the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus, that in this time in your presence, needs will be met, yokes will be broken, blind eyes will be opened, strength will come to us within and without, helping us to run with patience this race that is set before us even more perfectly in the name of Jesus. I ask Heavenly Father for mercy. Mercy to be concise and to be precise, not saying unnecessary things, but Lord, redeeming the time as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of this word by your help things new and old to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You'll be quiet tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. There's fullness of joy. There's liberty in the spirit. Amen. All right. So we're going to the word this evening, and I want to give honor to my fathers, Pastor Lubia and Mommy Sarah. I really thank God every day. It really is more apparent to me every day that we owe them our lives. Amen. And their impact into our lives really can't be quantified in eternity. If you look at it, really, you know, it's like a storehouse of love, of wisdom, of blessing, you know, that God has prepared. And it's taken God 35 years plus to do that. So we give him all the glory for such a rich treasure. It's great to have them as examples. It's good to have them behind you. And I'm happy to have them behind me tonight. Amen. Amen. And they're urging me on to do it like they would. And I trust God for mercy to be faithful in Jesus' name. I trust we'll all be blessed in Jesus' name. This word dropped into my heart a couple of days ago. And this afternoon, the Lord built it up in my for me. Really, you don't really receive a message. God teaches you and shows you, say this, do it like this. you know, nothing is new. It's something Pastor has preached to us over and over again. And I'm sure you've heard Pastor say this so many times, that our destiny is not to become a doctor. Your destiny is not to become an architect. Your destiny is not to become a successful businessman. Now, those things are good, but they're not your destiny. Our destiny is to become like Christ. And then being like Christ, we become a better doctor. You become a better businessman. You become the fullest and the best of all that God wants to be. The message tonight is entitled Dreams and Destiny. Dreams and Destiny. And you know, as people living in the end time, it's critical that we grow spiritually and come into an understanding of God's plan for our lives. You know, and that's why spiritual growth is the emphasis, really. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In verse 11, quickly, you need to be quick. Let's read it together. Say, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So I stopped speaking the way I used to. I no longer understood the way I used to. I now began to act in a different way. So the way we think, the way we speak, the way we understand reflects where we are in God. And that's very important. And the next verse in verse 12 says, but for now I see through a glass darkly. So when you're growing spiritually, when we are growing spiritually, we see through a glass darkly. Thank God we're seeing, amen. At least we're seeing something, amen. You know, so we're not saying, no, but we see through a glass darkly. But as we grow spiritually, The veil is removed. And now we don't see darkly anymore. We begin to see face to face. And even when you see face to face, there are levels in seeing God face to face. You know, there are levels in there. So we really keep knowing God and seeing Him and knowing Him so that, like it says here, no, now I know in part. But then, I can't hear you, now I know in part. But then shall I know even as also I am known. My prayer is that you will get here in Jesus' name. It's the destination that God has assigned. And we're going to get there in Jesus' name. All right? So our perspective is important. 8-year-olds think differently from 18-year-olds. And they think differently from 38-year-olds. My children are young. Oh, okay, so, I mean, for an 8-year-old, having fun is the key. That's the highlight. You know, what are we doing today? Where are we going today? You know, that's the key. I don't want to say this one. Then everything is beautiful. Everything is wonderful. But if you don't have the right answer, that can be the end of looking mopey. You know, that they want to have fun. 18-year-olds want to fit in. They want everybody to, you know, I want to be like everybody. I want to enjoy people's respect. So I want to fit into my circle. That's 18, early 20s. But in a 38-year-old, he really is knocking 40. His life is going, I mean, he's recognized that, look, this thing is not a game anymore, and I need to be the best I can be. Different perspective. By reason of growth. The same way it is physically is the same way it is spiritually, brethren. God's emphasis, therefore, has always been growth. Ephesians 4:15. That we might grow up into Him in all things. So we can have mature sons. Because, brethren, God has a creation project. He started in Genesis, where He made man. And believe me, He's still making man. Up to now, to fulfill man's his purpose. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Amen. Verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. But I was only talking to some people here. Some people are not speaking. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. So you are alive, but you are dead to your own self. Okay? Holy, acceptable unto God. He's the one judging. Which is your reasonable service. Next verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are going to prove God's perfect will for our lives in Jesus' name. But it's available. We must not die at the good will. We must not stop at the acceptable will. We must prove the perfect will. And everything is reflective in the renewing of the mind. It's in the renewing of the mind. Let's look at it in the Amplified Bible so you can understand with greater depth and clarity. It's Amplified. Thank you. Same scripture, Amplified. Verse 1. Thank you. Verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies. So the mercy of God is available to do all this. All the mercies of God. To make a decisive dedication of your bodies. Presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. So worship is not only lifting up your hands. It's the way you live your life. Next verse. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. So there is a way that the world does their thing. You know, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal. So it's not partial. The entire renewal of your mind by its new ideals and its new attitude. So that you may prove for yourselves what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. And that's Amplified. So there is an attitude. There is an ideal. An ideal is like a standard. Man's ideal is not God's ideal. God's ideal is higher than man's ideal. far higher. And God is saying, don't settle for man's ideal. You know, when you get to your 40s or 50s that you're successful, people say you've arrived. Moses was 40. He was mighty in word and in deed. Amen. He built the pyramids, but he had not started his destiny. So the fact that we're successful physically doesn't mean that we have even begun this walk into our destiny. Somebody say he's fulfilling his destiny. That's not destiny. That is not destiny. Amen. Look at what destiny is all about. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30. Give it to me in the Amplified Bible. Romans chapter 8, 29 and 30. Thank you. For whom, for those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his son and share inwardly his likeness. There's a people that God is prepared this for all men. We know Pastor has taught us so well. You know, God doesn't preordain individuals. He preordains conditions. Okay? He preordains the ideal, the target, and then the condition to get there. And anybody who meets the condition becomes predestinated to get to that ideal. Do you understand what God... So that's how God has done it. And that's what he's saying here. So, but that his ideal is to foreordain us to be molded into the image of his son and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. Next verse. So there are going to be people that are like Jesus. Just like Jesus is, just like you have a natural brother, natural sister, the same way God wants us to be natural brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ. Exactly like him. In image and likeness. Say amen. Amen, sir. And power. And glory. And wisdom. He's sharing all with you. And it is criminal. No, not criminal. It is falling short. We will not fall short in Jesus' name. To say, I don't want all that. That's not humility. That is spurning the sacrifice of the Son of God. So you must the idea is to make him see the travail of his soul. That's why we need to understand it clearer and clearer. And those whom he thus foreordained, how many people has he foreordained? Okay, as many as are willing, remember. Okay, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, acquitted from the sentence that Satan put on them. Made righteous, putting them into right standing with himself. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. God wants to raise you to a heavenly dignity. In fact, he has started raising you to heavenly dignity. The dignity that heaven calls dignity. God wants to make you heavenly dignity and a state or condition of being that is heavenly dignity. That is the calling of God upon your life. All right. And it's important to understand that the mind is central to this transformation. So we can understand this concept clearly. Let's see it play out in the life of Joseph. Amen. Look at Genesis chapter 37, verse 5 to 7. Now, you really need to be quick with me. So we need to be 5 to 7, quickly. 5 to 7, not 3. Now, we know the story, so I'm just going to run through it very quickly. Joseph dreamed two dreams, all right? And so we just go through quickly. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Next verse. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him, you're going too fast. Just quickly. Back to 5. Yes. And Joseph dreamed a dream and told his brethren, they hate him yet more. Next verse, 6. And he said that, pray, here I pray you this dream which I have dreamed. Next verse. That wasn't very sound, actually. That wasn't very wise. I mean, how can you do that? Even if it's the polygamous home, come on. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose. So he was proud. And also stood upright. That's the posture of pride. Okay? And behold, your sheep stood round about and made obeisance to my sheep. Verse 9, next verse. And his brethren said unto me, shall thou indeed reign over us, or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Next verse. And he dreamed yet another dream. And again, in all his wisdom, told it to his brethren. And told them, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. On top of that one. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance unto me. Next verse. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee on the to the earth? Next verse. And his brethren envied him. It progressed from hatred to envy. You know, envy is processed hatred. It's more because after he did the first one, they hated him. And did the second one, Bible says they envy. Bible says, who can stand before envy? So envy is an advancement. When you do O level, that's hatred. A level, that's envy. We will not go in that way. Our own A level will be in godliness in Jesus' name. But you can see where they are going and in glory. Okay, all right. And his father and his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Babe, peradventure, this may be God. And kept it in his left hand. Thank you, sir. That's what fathers do. So Joseph is the type of us. He had two dreams pointing in one direction. To be above. To be great. To be distinct. And also you and I have dreams. We have different dreams. We have dreams. You want to be, for we have dreams to be successful at whatever we do. We have dreams to be engaged. Amen. We have dreams to graduate in flying colors. We have dreams to run a successful business. Amen. We have dreams for promotion. We have dreams to marry God's choice for you. Amen. You have a dream to study in your choice course in the university of your dreams. You have dreams. You have dreams to make your parents full of joy and pride over you. You have dreams. You have dreams, and they're legitimate dreams. You have dreams to buy the brand new car of your dreams. So you are done with Tokumba forever and ever. Amen. We have dreams for a good life. Nothing wrong with those dreams. And they're legitimate dreams. Amen. The Bible talks about the hope of the promise of this life. Things in this world, they're not wrong. They're not wrong, you must understand. But here is the point. Little did Joseph know that he was in God's hands. And he was part of a plan that was far bigger than him. Psalm 105. Look at verse 6 to 11. Psalm 105. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Psalm 105. Let's read together. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen. Who are those he's talking to? It's us. Seed of Abraham. Let me see your hand. Amen. Amen. All right. And his blessings rest on us. Amen. All right. Next verse. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Next verse. He has remembered his covenant forever. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Next verse. Which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. What are we saying? We are saying that God had a plan that was way before Joseph's time. Before Joseph, when Joseph was still a thought, God, years and centuries before, he had a plan. And that plan was instituted through Abraham, went through Isaac, through Jacob, so that there was a lineage that plan was passing through. And Joseph just happened to be set in the middle of that plan. And And that's the key here. You know, because the plan was with Abraham and with his seed. Not physical seed or generation. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. It was actually a plan through those who believe by faith, like Abraham. So anybody who believes by faith qualifies to be part of that lineage. And that plan will work through. So faith was the key. Bible says, therefore, it is by grace. Amen. That might be, or therefore it is by faith, that it might be by grace, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. So it's by faith we key in into the grace that is bringing the promise. So the promise has been coming before. So when you woke up and you just entered, you know, it's not as if it's with you that it began. Something has been coming for centuries. It's a train coming on for centuries, and coming, and he picked you up, and you're thinking, oh, it's all about me. No, it's not about you. There's a larger picture. Larger picture. And that's what happened with Joseph. That he was key to a larger picture. He had to key into a larger picture. Okay? All right. Let's look at. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. We are, you and I are heathen because we're not Israelites. You know, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee and all the and all nation, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So God's ultimate plan is to bring all creation in. God is inclusive. Not exclusive. But he had to start with the pioneer to begin the work and then bring everybody else in. Okay? Next, verse 9. Quickly. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Look at verse 16. So you jump from Joseph. Now to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made, he seeth not as to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And you and I get it from Christ. So he's talking about something that's happening from before, and it's aligning, and we're aligning with that same plan. Look at verse, let's go back to Psalm 105. So just to show you that there's a larger picture. This thing was a mystery at this time that he was talking to his brothers. It was a mystery to Joseph. Bible talks about the mystery of godliness. It was a mystery. He didn't understand it. He just thought, I'm born again. I want this. I want that. I want this. And may God do it for me by faith in Jesus' name. But there was a mystery that God had to unravel. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But we see how he plays out. Look at verse 17. Same Psalm 105. Back to Psalm 105 now. Amen. Are you getting something out of this? Are you following me? All right. We'll follow the Holy Spirit as he leads us. Verse 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. I thought it was brethren sold him. He was sent. Next verse. Whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron. Next verse. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. What does that mean? Until the time that the king sent for him, by that word, the word his daddy had taught him how to keep the commandment was trying and testing and refining him. That's what he's talking about. Next verse. The king sent and loosed. That's when the word came. The king gave the word to bring him. So that was the word that came. But before the word came, the first person authority on him was his father. And that one had given him certain words. And his faithfulness to those words was what determined when his own dream will come to pass. Amen. It's very important we understand, okay? Let's read it on. Verse 20, verse 21. He made him Lord of his house and ruler of all his substance. Amen. Next verse. To bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Next verse. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, you know, you and I are Joseph. Amen. Joseph is a type of the end time Christian. I got this from Pastor's Weekly Rhema. Joseph, Daniel, and Nebuchadnezzar, 2016. So you need to go and check. So that's why you need we read all these things and study them. Okay? But Joseph is the type of the end time Christian who uses the ability of the mind of Christ, okay, to prosper and create wealth that is now used to propagate the gospel. That's what end time Josephs do. They have the mind of Christ. And that mind of Christ is the creative mind of Christ is used to create wealth, abundant wealth, that is now used to prosecute the gospel so that the church can bless nations. And then nations will open their door because of the blessing, and then the gospel can come in. We need those Josephs. It's critical. All right? We also need Daniels, because Daniels also opened the door through intercession. But this is Joseph we're talking about today, and that's we are also Joseph. So you need to prosper. It is key that you prosper. Not just the normal level of prosperity, the one where you will lend to nations. And you will not borrow. You will go and lend to nations, so that the nations, because of the magnitude of your goodwill, open the door for the gospel. Then you, the end time Joseph Christian also disciplines leaders. He teaches them, binds his senators and teaches them wisdom. And so he would give them wisdom and the finances, and they have no choice, because he who pays the piper dictates the tune. So he can actually influence laws and rulership in and policy, that's the word, in the nations by force of financial arms. By force of financial arms, he does that. Okay, so that's we are Josephs. And I want you to take your mind out of this managing and managing and managing. This is not who you are. Reject this picture. This is not who you are. You are bigger than this. Not because of anything you did, but because of what Jesus did. Give God a clap of you. Amen. God paid the price. Designed the plan. Jesus paid the price, and the Holy Spirit is right here on our side to make sure it comes to reality. But we need to see ourselves differently. Stop seeing yourself as a child. Stop speaking as a child. Stop understanding. Now start understanding as a man. Maturity. All right? So we see that this is God's plan. Okay? So looking at Joseph, back to Joseph, you see that Joseph's destiny was way beyond his dreams. Bigger than it, bigger, far bigger. There was no way his mind could comprehend. So God just gave him the little dream and the commandment and said, just follow and I'll make it plain. Just like God is doing for us. Step by step. God gives you the commandments and tells you the promise. Back it with an oath and says, trust me. And the same way Joseph did it is the way we are going to do it. Because that's the word. Amen. So what was Joseph's destiny? His destiny was to bring Israel as a family into Egypt. That was the first phase. All right. And so that Israel, from becoming a family of 12 sons, will become a nation. Genesis 46:3, where God appeared to Jacob and told him, look, go down to Egypt. And he spoke to him that the brothers that come and told him, Joseph said, you should come. But then God now spoke to him direct and said, I'm the God. He said, go down. There I will make of thee a great nation. Joseph was the forerunner of that. What does that have to do with somebody bowing down to you? You can't compare. Can't compare. He's greater, bigger, and more. It's grave consequences. It's great responsibility. It's not something you just do flippantly. Because there's so much as it's so. Sometimes if God chooses your destiny, you'll be afraid. How long? He told Jeremiah, go and speak. I can't speak. Don't say you can't speak. Come on, stop saying that. I have to tell him, don't spend it. Then change his vision. Say, what do you see? I see the rod of an hand. Now you are seeing correctly. God wants you to see the rod of an almond tree. To see the correct thing. The one that he has shown you, keep it in your mind. Say that this is my destiny. And don't let your circumstances be telling you that this is who you are. That's not who you are. Amen? Alright, so we see that was it. And as he grew spiritually, he came to understand that he was sent. Look at Genesis 45 verse 5. So you can see that there was a growth process. Genesis 45 verse 5. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to what? Preserve life. Next verse. Now you understand. At that time, there was no way his mind could grab it. He was proud. You would tell them to that one, your life is going to depend on me. In fact, they would have killed him. So it was just with the little one God gave him. See how much hatred he managed to stoke up. All right. So God, for these 2 years have the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be eating nor harvest. Airing nor harvest. I beg your pardon. Next verse. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Understanding. Next verse. So now, it was not you that sent me here. Hallelujah. But God, and he had made me a father to Pharaoh, and the Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. He's giving glory to God. He's not boasting. He's saying what God has done. Next verse. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. Next verse. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flock, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. Verse 11. And there will I what? Nourished. As second part. It was to bring them out from being an Israel family into being a nation, and then to nourish them so they will increase exceedingly. Amen. For there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. Amen. We see that. Look at verse 13. He's talking to his brothers. And shall tell my father. I can't hear you now. And shall tell my father of all my what? Glory where? In Egypt. And of all that thou hast seen. And shall haste and bring down my father here. May we bring glory to God and glory to our fathers. Amen. He said he was happy because he understood and recognized that he would never have gotten here if not for the instruction of his father. So he's telling them that I have entered into my ministry. Yes, God has to come and see that the hope of what he was hoping for, I have been able to fulfill it. May we fulfill what is in God's heart. And as we do that, may our children fulfill what is in your heart for them in Jesus' name. That's it. It's the greatest. You become who your parents saw and imagined, spiritually and physically. That's it. You tell him of the glory, he will understand. Because when he was teaching us, he used to mention it as a far distant thing. But now I have brought it to the here and now. We will bring glory to the here and now. In Jesus' name. We and our fathers. First, the borrowed anointing as our fathers inherit. So our hands must not be slack. We have to stand in our place and make sure that our fathers inherit. And by then you will flow down. And then as you grow, then you now inherit. That would be a joy, wouldn't it? Remember, he was far away from home. It's not proximity. It's heart obedience. Everywhere you go. You know, you may be operating a borrowed anointing in Afghanistan. And it's there you grow up into maturity and inherit your own. Amen. Because you grow in the glory. You grow. There's a Stephen phase. There's a Paul phase. Before you get into the Christ phase. And you say, help me tell pastor that, that miracle that he did 10 years ago, I'm also doing it now. That's what he was saying. I say, sir, you'll be your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. God wants to stir us up so we have desire. So you know, he understood that. And he had no desire for vengeance. So when his father died, because they know he loved his father, when his father died and he was buried, they were afraid. We are now in this guy's trap. He's going to deal with us now. So they told somebody to tell him that daddy said before he died that you please not be wicked. He started crying. A broken man. He started crying. Genesis 50. Just look at it. 15. I won't read all of it. Just to show you. Just to show you that, you know, if you hold on to hurts and wickedness and the bad things that people did for you or did for somebody close to you, you are shortchanging yourself and all the whole destiny God has earmarked to come through you. It's not worth it. Great things. And when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, okay, move to next verse quickly. Next verse. And they sent a messenger, next verse, next. I already said that. Move, quick. Oh, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. Money. You didn't know before. And now, we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when he spoke to them. Next verse. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face and said, behold, we be thy servants. Are they not bowing again? Of their own free will. Of their own free will. They are fulfilling scripture. No, but you know, is it, how would it have been for them to have bowed in heart all through the years? So that they could have entered their destiny. It's true. No, but at least their destiny was to come in. You know, at least, but even when in Egypt, there's still room. The fact that somebody has fulfilled his own part doesn't shortchange your own part. Why should you be the one that they are carrying on the back every time? Why can't you stand on your own two feet and put on your own righteousness of the saints? Amen. And that's what they could have done. And his brethren also went and fell down. They said, next verse. And Joseph said to them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? I am not God. Next verse. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Anything your enemies do, it is to work for your good. I'm not saying it as it is. What is here now? It's here. It's scripture. It is to what it is meant for good. I know it is evil. I know it's a fiery trial, but God will turn it around and use it as a stepping stone. When they lied against him that he slept with somebody he didn't sleep with, and God said, keep quiet. And he didn't say a word. Brethren, can you keep quiet? If they will use the gods of the gods and gods of their father to cause and prove that they were not the one that did it. God sees. He didn't tear his clothes and no lie. Tear his clothes and say, I didn't do it. He kept quiet because God said, keep quiet. Sometimes the will of God is hard, but we pray our flesh into a place where it obeys because there's a larger glory. Pastor always says it. Unjust suffering is redemptive. It's redemptive. Didn't it come to redeem? To save much people alive. That's redemption. That's meaning of redemption. To save. So what you are going through, understand that God brought you. You are in a plan. He's bigger than you. He's bigger than you. It's not. So even looks as if your goals, when he went to prison, it's not as if his goals were getting farther from him. His dreams. People that people bow down to, they're not in prison. You do bow down to people in prison. They are the ones bowing down to people. It seemed as if his goal was father. But God was working something out. God is working something out for you. And stay with it. Stay with it. Don't take a shortcut. Stay with it. Alright? So God has given us the same. We have dreams. We have an education. We have family. We have friends. We're in a community. Yet his purpose is far bigger than us, far bigger than our dreams, and includes our dreams. But we must trust and obey him completely, like Joseph did. Now, if you look at Lord Jesus, just very quickly, do we see the same principle? Because Joseph is Old Testament, Jesus is New Testament. Okay? Luke 2:48-50, we see Jesus staying back in the temple. And his parents have traveled 3 days' journey. And realized that, he's not here with us. And they came all the way back. And when he found him, his mommy said, why have you treated us thus? And he said to them that, do you not know that, why is it that you are looking for me? Do you not know that I will be about my father's business? Give me that. Thank you. Now, next verse. And you're walking in the spirit. They understood not the same which he spoke unto them. Next verse. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was what? Subject. In spite of all your knowledge, you must be subject. Son of God, he had to be subject. He realized it. I need to be subject. And his mother kept all these things, like Joseph kept the sayings. Mary kept the saying. Good spiritual authority, always keep whatever you say. Because they themselves are looking for God. Then they don't claim to have the knowledge of everything. So they're looking for God everywhere. And it can come from literature, so they understand that. Very important. Alright? So we see, look at the next verse. The consequence of this submission. Look at the impact. And Jesus did what? Increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Talking about wisdom and character, mindset, perspective, growth. Amen. To be able to grow, you need to be subject. Amen. Same way Joseph was subject. When daddy was not there, daddy did not see. He had no Bible. Yet he was doing everything he was supposed to do, even though daddy was not there. And what he was doing brought him out. Amen. All right. We also see it for look at John chapter 2. We also see it in John chapter 2, verses 3. It goes for the wedding in Cana in Galilee. Amen. We know the story. And they wanted wine, and the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. And the first thing looks at his mom is that, mommy, what I have to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. It's not done like that. God has not said anything to me yet. Next verse. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. He too didn't throw it away. He put it in his left hand. And God said, you better obey. See, this thing of being subject to the will of God is looking for the will of God. The fact that mommy said it doesn't make it the will of God. But the fact is that I must check everything mommy said to make sure the one that is the will of God and the one that has done the will of God. And when there is the will of God, we obey. And as soon as she said that, he obeyed. And the rest is, look at verse 7. And Jesus told them, fill the water pot. And we see the Bible says that was where he manifested forth, verse 11, the glory. So Jesus' growth and manifestation was from submission to authority, to instruction, to obedience of the fathers. Amen? Very important. All right? And so as we keep going on in his life, you see, when the people sought to make the Lord Jesus a king by force, he was a king spiritually, but now they want to make him a physical king. I don't know how many people they want to make a physical king, and then you run away and go to a mountain. My time has come. Oh God, now let us thy servant be promoted. As a man be exalted. Yes. Oluwa Shefunmi. They will change their name. It's true. The glory of man is not the will of God. And you see, if you are seeking glory among men, you are not seeking destiny, you are seeking dreams. Destiny includes dreams. It includes dreams, but dreams are far from destiny. Only God can help you fulfill destiny. Only God. You can fulfill your dream with your own hand by using opportunity. There are some people specialize in pulling people down from the ladder and taking their place. But that's just dream, not destiny. All right? We see Jesus here going away. What? Why? Why did he go away? Because it was not the will of God. It was not the will of God. That's why he went away. He departed to the mountain alone. John 6:15. Because he was seeking the Father's will. He says in John 4:34. Say, my meat is to do his will and to finish his work. That's what I live for. Amen. All right. And because he was seeking only the Father's will. So when he did not want to go to the cross, we know that again in Luke 22. He went again to his Father and said, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And God said, I will. And he went to the cross.
So the key here is that no matter what dream God gave you, if you follow God's will, you will get to destiny, you will fulfill your dreams, you have a full, complete picture of everything God has for you. But if you ignore the will because it's convenient, then you fall. But we will not fall by the wayside in Jesus' name. Amen. What's the lesson here? Absolute submission to the will of God, revealed through His Word directly from the Holy Spirit or through set spiritual oversight or natural authority, is something we must be submitted to. Absolute submission. We must be absolutely submitted to the will of God. That will of God can be revealed to you directly through the Holy Spirit, or it can be revealed to you through spiritual authority or natural authority. But the key is, it's not for contest. You have to submit. To be able to get the fullest and the best. If you don't submit to the will, you will get something, but you won't get the fullest. What's the point in getting the good and not the acceptable? Getting the good and acceptable and not the perfect. I want perfect. I maybe want perfect. You want perfect? Then we go. Submission is all the way. Amen. That's the will of God. Now, why is this important? Very quickly, as we begin to wind down. Why is this important? God has predestinated only those who will be totally submitted to His will. Those who will sit on the throne are those who have no will of their own. Hebrews 10:9. Lo, I come in the volume of the books to do thy will. That will. You know, God does everything according to the counsel of His will. The day Satan said, I will, he fell. You have to stay with the will. If you don't know the will, find it out. Don't assume it. Find it out. Your deliverance is in knowing the will and doing it. I don't know how black it seems. Somebody sent something to me today, and I was really blessed. There was a car that was covered with mud, a Range Rover. Maybe I had gone through all this muddy terrain, and the car was totally covered in mud. But the windshield was clear because the wiper had cleaned it. And the Bible says, doesn't matter what circumstances come your way. Once you can see through the windshield, you can get to your destination. Isn't that powerful? That's what God is saying. Keep the windshield clear. Make sure you can find God's will. How do you find God's will? The Bible says in John 5:30, my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. That is not something you do occasionally. Something you do all the time. So you keep your compass clearly inclined towards Zion. Towards the fullness, towards the best, towards the throne. That's the sign. That's the compass is pointing north. Then you can decide, oh, okay, ready to the north. This is where we are. Okay, so then we go like this. But if you don't do that, your compass will be pointing east, and you are thinking you are looking north, and then you miss the way. Like some people will be talking about today. Don't let the compass shift. John the Baptist, compass shift. It shifted. You know, he shifted. You know, after he said, I must bear witness. He said it twice. I must bear witness. And then the Bible says, he bore witness. Then what are we doing again? What are we still doing again? He continued his ministry. After bearing witness, you said with your mouth that your mission was to bear witness. The day you did it, the scripture says, you bore witness. Your job is done. So what are you still doing? Baptizing where there was plenty of water. You've gone off north. You've gone off. You've gone west. And now, you because your compass is now in that direction, you know when you now hear that he's healing and he's doing miracles, you now send someone to go and ask, are you he that is to come? So no, he's missed it because he's now used himself as a reference point. If I'm in jail, you can't be the one. If you don't come and get me out, and then what is the ministry that they are doing? So Jesus sent a message back to him and said that the blind see, the deaf hear, the things you prophesied yourself. And blessed is he that shall not be offended in me. Your compass must not shift. You can't afford offense. If you have offense to authority, it may be your parent, it will affect you. It may be someone in authority over you in your office, it will affect you. It will affect your compass. Keep it straight, pointing in the north. That's your responsibility. It's mine. Keep our compass straight in the north. All right? And that's why the Bible says of David. Says, you know, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. You have to keep your compass in the will of God. And David did that. Amen? And you know, anytime you reject the will as revealed in the world or revealed through spiritual fathers, you get rejected. That's what Saul did. And they told him, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. But God will not reject us in Jesus' name. He says, God has therefore rejected you from being king. Don't reject the word of the Lord. It is better to be a doorkeeper in the will of God than to be a sumptuous rich person outside the will of God. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, the scripture says. So the trappings of success, influence, power, riches, people respecting you, people knowing you, that is not destiny. Destiny is growing and becoming more like Christ, more submitted to God's will, and then we'll now see who you really are at the end. If they have told Joseph that he would be the one that brought Israel from being a family to be a nation, he's the one that nourished them for the hundreds of years, he would have thought, me, I can't do it. But he did it. There's a big God behind him. There's a big God behind you too. There are great things that are yet written of you that you will unravel. It's as you are fulfilling it that you, in the scripture, now in that space, hey, is it me? Is it me? Praise God. It's not, that's not the place you get to and you have your pompons. Check everybody that got there. It's the last response. That's the last response, okay? So what are we saying? So the first thing is that we'll be totally submitted to the will. Second thing is that, you know, we're living in a time where the glory is imminent. And because of that, Satan has thrown the kitchen sink. I don't know when that happens to you. Your car, your anything, your phone will not work. You know, I don't know. Family, this, that, everything just comes to a head. I don't know whether it's happening to you. Maybe you are insulated. Praise God. Whatever he's thrown, the Bible says that look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. It's very important. 1 Peter chapter 4. Say, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try. That one, when he was speaking, it was to try. Now he's trying us. Fire, health, money, job, exam, family, your life dreams and life hopes and ambition. Everything is open for grabs. It's a war out there. But God is trying to tell you to relax. I'm in control. Chill. Tell your neighbor, chill. It's a heavenly chill. Chill. Amen. Say, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also in exceeding joy. Give God a clap of him. That's the will of God. That will be glad. The fire comes before the glory. It's leading to the glory. So God says, understand it. So we're in this season, and there's a lot of testing and refining and pressure and persecution. The idea is that God wants to refine you. Those desires on the inside be refined. The impurities in the flesh be removed. So he's cleansing from the outside, refining on the inside. Amen? And that's what he's doing, but it's something that we need to understand. So we need to seek his face, understand his will, and obey. Ephesians chapter 5, he says, you know, that redeeming the time, you know, because the days are evil, you know, understand what the will of the Lord is. You need to understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't do it on emotion. Do it based on the will of God. Amen. Let's learn from the mistake of the young prophet. Mommy shared this with us extensively some months ago, I believe. 1 Kings 13:14-19. Just quickly, as we begin to... Young prophet. Wow, time has gone. Really need to round up. Okay, young prophet. 1 Kings 13:14. Ah, yes. 1 Kings 13:14. And went after the man of God. You know the story now. There was a young prophet. He spoke to the altar. You know, the altar went. The king wanted to lay hand on him. The hand on the king was withered. The king begged him. He restored the king's hand. And it was like, wow, it's a man of God. He had success. He had recognition. He was now well known. Okay? And it was going on. But that, the spectacular does not guarantee immunity from the flesh. Your external success doesn't guarantee immunity from temptation. What guarantees immunity is hiding yourself in the secret place of God's love. That's the secret place of the Most High. He wasn't working on himself, so he had this desire to eat, even though God said he should not eat. And anytime people are offering him, people are like, you're a big man of God, sir. Yeah, sir, you're a big man of God, sir. Can I kiss your hand? Can I kiss your shoe? Mwah. You know, they were idolizing him. And with it came invitation to eat. And my man had not crucified flesh. So he kept telling everybody, I really want to, but I'm sorry I can't. You know, God said, to the point where people are like, Kumajem, did he eat in your house? He didn't eat your house. The word went round that, he's not eating. No, what you allow people to say, you ain't say too much. It's from the words of your mouth, you will be judged or you'll be justified. It's from the words of your mouth. So you have to learn to be discreet, you know, with your words. You know, say only things that you ought to answer with a word in season. In the multitude of words, there is always sin. Particularly when you're on a spiritual assignment. Habba, or God prophet. You know, and he went after the man of God and found him sitting on an oak. And he said unto him, I doubt the man of God that came from Judah. And he said, I am. What was he even sitting there? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That stand on what is he doing sitting? You know what he's doing? He's complaining. Oh Lord, I'll cross here for me, oh Lego. I'm the only one. I've not eaten since. I'm weak. I'm sorry, I can't go on. If you're going to kill me, I don't know. Let me just say his mind has turned. It's a mind thing. Forget that he did miracles just down the road. So that's why we need to be walking in the spirit, watch and pray. These are things that will guarantee your life and mine. Because when the glory comes, the stakes get higher. The stakes get higher. The margin for error is very little, as you see from this man's life. Verse 19, let's just go to the end. We know the story. And he came unto him and said, verse 15, come eat bread with me. Next verse. And he went back and did it. What did he tell him? You told him, you forgot that. What did he jump? He said, an angel of the Lord appeared to me and said, I should tell you to come and eat in my house. So he followed him. Don't, you've already gotten to the end. So he followed him. All right. So what do we learn from this lesson? It's a lesson. We must not lean on experience or past victories. We forget the things that are past. You had a good business contract. You executed it. Praise God. This next one, we drop our tent and we pray and prayerfully seek. We don't just do it with the eyes. We do it by understanding the will of God. Amen. Not on past victory. The Bible says forgetting things that are past, reaching forth for the things that are before. Pressing toward the mark. One day, David was in a war and God said, you know, shall I pursue? And God said, pursue. And he pursued them. Next time, God, in the next one, similar situation. He asked again. He said, shall I pursue? God said, no, wait. When you hear the sound in the mulberry trees, you know that the angels have gone ahead, then you pursue. Same situation, two instructions. It's different.
So don't lean on your past, because when it's like this, we always do this. When it's like that, we always do that. No. We acknowledge God. That's what we always do. We acknowledge Him always in all our ways. Amen? All right. And next one is, always check whatever you hear with God. Don't believe everything just because someone in authority said it. I saw one man of God on the TV. He said that. Man said they should go and eat with him, and he killed him. Jonadab, the son of Shimei, told Amnon how he should deceive his sister, his half-sister, and sleep with her. Is it God that told him? It cost him his life. Better be careful what we listen to. Kind of counsel. You seek the counsel. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and hypocrisy. And then when he passes the filter, then you act on it. You are standing on solid rock. Amen. So, but the key, that thing, John 5:30. You know, yes, if any man will do his will, my meat is due. You see, that's the compass. I have to go back to, you know, that compass is key. If that compass is there, you will hear God. You will hear God. But Saul's heart has shifted to seeking his own glory. So there was no way Saul could hear God. To the point where he had to go to a witch at Endor. God forbid, in Jesus' name. All right, so, and this is important here. Look at Acts 17:11. You know, always check what men of God say. Particularly in this day. Pastor David was preaching last Sunday on Bible study about false prophets. There are people that are sitting in the gates and they are false. They're not real. They're not from God. So you have to check. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and did what? Search the scriptures once a week. Once in 2 days. Daily. Whether those things were so. And that involved effort to go to the synagogue and check. And go to the synagogue and check. But they wanted to know. That's how much diligence you put in seeking the truth. Very important. Amen. How do we do this? Things we already know already. Just going to touch on. Number one, we follow after divine love. 1 Corinthians 14. Follow after love. Let love be the goal. Alright? And love is basically doing the will of God. Alright? But Pastor has said it. You know, discerning. Okay? Discerning by the word of God. You know, through the light that the Holy Spirit gives us, all right, desiring by the compassion from the fruit of the Spirit and doing by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's love. That's love. So, the Word of God is central to this. You must have the Word of God. And you know, and that means you must read it. You must study it. You must listen to apostolic fathers regularly, because it's in their light that you see light. It's important. Okay? And what that does is this. As you do that, as you read it, you know, as you read, as you study, you develop an appetite for the word. An appetite for revelation. Amen? And when it's not revelation, it doesn't excite you anymore. Do you understand what I mean? No. So the revelation word becomes more real to you than your dreams. Your dreams are still there, but what is more prominent in your mind is light from God concerning your dreams. Light from God concerning the dream is more important to you than just the dream itself, because you don't want to make a mistake. Amen. Number two, we develop communion with the Holy Spirit. Psalm 27:4. Psalm 27:4, quickly. Thank you, Holy Spirit. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To do what? Behold the beauty of the Lord. That's His presence, His person, everything about Him. He's just summarized as a beauty. Beauty of holiness. And to inquire in His temple, to acknowledge Him. So I'm not going out and coming in. I'm there, permanent. I'm always talking to Him. That's it. That's one thing. That's the one thing. So make that a priority above the dream, above everything else, and you'll get to the destiny. It's assured. Amen. Because you know you'll be in communion with Him. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 1:3-4, you know, the apostles were talking. Say that which you have fellowship, the fellowship which we have with the Father. You know, so Christianity is about fellowship. It's not about needs being met. Needs are going to be met, but the fellowship is more important. And then the needs will be met. And then there will be a sense of fulfillment. Because believe me, brethren, needs being met only gives you temporary joy. the temporary joy. Because, you know, as the needs have been met, Bible says, through much tribulation. So there'll be other things. So as one thing is being met, there's another one happening again. And you need God. So where will you get your joy from? It's from being in His presence. In His presence. He says that which you have seen and declared to you, that we may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Verse 4. John 1:1. Okay, but I'm not zeroing on it because of time. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. The only way you can have constant joy all the time is from God's presence. Otherwise, what you have is happiness from needs being met occasionally. But what keeps you stable is the joy. It's always a fountain. The Bible says, though even the fig tree does not blossom, yet will I rejoice in the Lord my God. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That's where joy. Then the other things will be extra on top. They are not there, you have joy. They are there, you have more joy. So praise God. They're not clapping, Jesus. I'm just pulling your leg, amen. All right. So, and of course, we watch and pray earnestly. That's very important. All right. Watching and praying, we know we do that once every 6 hours, at every opportunity, in every temptation. That consistency, brethren, is very key. Because you need life flowing every time, bathing our soul every time. And in that life is light, John 8:12, and the light of life. So that light is, so you keep seeing things the way God sees them. When it's half full, and people say it's half full, when people say it's half empty, you say it's half full. You say it's getting, if I look at it, it's even moving a micrometer. It's moving. You know, because you'll be an incurable optimist. Nothing will be able to stop you because of the light that is coming from His presence. And He's showing you. And this is the key. Meditation is important here. As you meditate, the thoughts of God take residence in your heart. And thoughts of doubt and fear go away. So you find that on a regular giving day, your faith level is high. It's high. Your love level is high. So you're always getting answers to prayer. You're always ready to believe. You have a headache. Let's pray. That's your natural instinct because your faith level is high. That's the place we need to be because the glory can come anytime. Malachi 3 can come and verse says, who shall abide? Them that watch and pray always. Let us pray. We give God the glory. So watch and pray. Talk to God. Let's talk to God and pray. Ask God to help us. Put your destiny above your dream. Pound wise. And penny foolish. Stay with the pounds. Destiny is the pounds. The dreams are the pennies. Don't be penny wise. Focus on the pounds. The weightier matters of the law. And the destiny, you know, of your Nigeria, the nations of the earth, is important. You are central to that. That's why you're here. God has been doing it from before. Just you having your own this and your own that and your own this and your own that. If those things are not in place, you won't have any environment to enjoy your own. So seek His own. Don't seek your own glory. Seek the glory of Him that sent you.
Let's rise on our feet as we sing this song unto the Lord.
I fix my eyes on you, the author of my faith, casting aside every sin and every way. I fix my eyes on you, and I lay my burdens down, letting the cares of this world now fade away. And one thing I ask is one thing I seek, that I may dwell in your house, O Lord my King, all the day, all the days of my life. I want to gaze upon your beauty and seek you in this holy place. Oh Lord, one thing I ask is one thing I see, that I may dwell in your house, O Lord my King, all the day. Upon your beauty and seek you in this holy place. All the days of my life, all the days of my life, I want to gaze upon your beauty and seek you in this holy place.
Let's raise up our right hand. This is our heart cry. This is a heart prayer. A left hand on our heart. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time in your presence and for your word that you've sent to us tonight. I recognize that it is your will for me to fulfill the desire and the thoughts that are in your heart. The thoughts to bring me to the expected end you have ordained from before the foundation of time. So Heavenly Father, I ask for fresh mercy. Help me to be faithful to receive mercy and grace, to be diligent in obeying instruction, to walk in obedience, to grow in love, so that day by day you will enable me to have more of your mind, seeing you face to face, understanding your will in all circumstances and all situations, and fulfilling it, so that all that is in your heart for me will come into manifestation to carry your glory, to fulfill promises that are written of me in the volume of the book, and to bring joy to your heart and to the heart of my fathers. I ask for mercy, so my hands will not be slack. I will not be distracted. I will not be offended. I will allow my heart to be aligned to seek your will, and your word to be a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. So I will not err, but I will walk in your will all the days of my life. Help me, Father, to walk in your will all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Rasta tanto biklade jeka koka kaka rapa papa poko sikan zefre kan geke levaba toa jeke levebe di koko levaba ma papa kato teka jeke levebe koko rolebasa rolebayala
In Jesus' name, amen. Pray and say, in Jesus' name, we have life.